Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Time to bring in our guest here on Sports Talk Chicago, Joey Christopoulos, right here on WLS AM 890. He is the beat writer for CHGO Sports. You can check out his newsletter at chgo.com or become a diehard today. They have an amazing deal right now to become a diehard package. To check out that newsletter, it's Patrick Norton. What's up, Patrick?
How's it going?
Good, man. It's good. Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago here on WLS AM 890. So, dude, let's dive right into it, man. You were there at Halas Hall yesterday. The big news of the week, obviously, Chicago Bears have hired a new head coach. It is Ben Johnson. They nailed the big fish. So I just want to get your first quick takeaways from what you thought the press conference went with Ben. We'll start with Ben, and then we'll maybe move through, Poles, Caleb, Kevin, George, all that stuff.
Ben Johnson really knocked it out of the park yesterday, or on Wednesday, excuse me. But it was a big deal for him, not only to get that right, to get off on the right foot, but to also kind of start to cement his culture in that building with Caleb Williams right there front and center, and Rome Odunze next to him, and DJ Moore next to him, and Cole Kmet right there too. The line that stuck out, I think, for really everybody was get comfortable being uncomfortable. And we started to kind of see how that's going to work from Ben Johnson as he worked through, hey, this is going to be a completely new playbook built around Caleb Williams. We're stripping this down to the studs. So this is going to be new for a lot of people, but our job here is to make this around you and make the Bears a winner. And that message from Johnson itself was exactly what I think everyone in that building wanted to hear, but what everyone watching at home wanted to hear too.
So for people that have tuned into my show before, everyone knows that I'm generally going to be pretty skeptical about any really head coaching hire that the Chicago Bears were going to make. I don't think Ben Johnson is alone in that category. But for people that are doing a victory lap that are saying, we're going to win 12 or 13 games already in January for next year, I'm asking people to pump the brakes. But you are bringing up a great point where I do think the most powerful part of that press conference, and something that I think was a little bit different, right, from the normal press conference things of saying sleeping giant and best fans in the world. We heard a lot of cliches yesterday, was that the players were there, Patrick. And I want to get your take on, look, I like the fact that all three players that would really like to catch the ball next year were there. And of course the quarterback was there. Whether they were mandated to be there or not, or whether they came out there on their own volition, that has to mean something, right? At least with this era moving forward. And I did like to see that it was Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore specifically, because those, in theory, two of them are veterans and the other one wants to become the next star in the Bears team. Hopefully these are guys that are, when we talk about leaders on the football team, I'm looking at those guys first and foremost. So I thought that it was great that they were there.
Joey, you really hit the nail on the head there. Because these are the players that it's not uncommon for players to be at a coach's introductory press conference, but those four players specifically, those are going to be your four horsemen of the offense going forward. Those are the players, who wasn't there? Keenan Allen. And I to me, that is significant right now, because you had the two wide receivers that are going to be the biggest pieces of this offense. You have the tight end who's expected who has been a blocking tight end the last few years in the NFL, to take on a larger role as a receiving tight end. And then you have the quarterback that is going to be expected to be the one who makes all of this move forward. And it's what Ben Johnson also said with how he made the determination to come to Chicago, having a quarterback helps. And then he would directly address Caleb Williams when he was sitting in that front row. And he said, hey, a lot of this is on you, but it's not all on you. And so again, just the messaging, and I know that you are the eternal pessimist. You're an eternal realist. I wouldn't even call you a pessimist because this team did finish 5-12 with higher expectations this past year. They've done a great job of winning off seasons in the past. Just last year, they brought in Adunze. They brought in Caleb. The year before that, it was the Hall trade that brought in DJ Moore. They have won off seasons before. It's time for that to translate to an on-field win too.
Patrick, we are the king of the offseason. And yesterday, we pulled out our crown and our walking stick, and we are now walking proudly through the backyard once again of being king of the offseason. Now, for casual Bears fans, and look, and here's what I'll just say about just me, my whole thought process with Ben Johnson is that I just feel like, you know, with past coaching Bears hires, they weren't necessarily my first pick. That doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. But I've always had to kind of wrap my head around what the thought process was and what the benefit of the doubt the Chicago Bears, what the benefit of the doubt I was going to give the Chicago Bears. And unfortunately, this has nothing to do with Ben Johnson. It's not personal. It's just the Chicago Bears don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore with me. And now my fear is more about how are the Chicago Bears going to ruin Ben Johnson, more than I'm worried about Ben Johnson being good with the Chicago Bears. So having said that, for casual Bears fans out there listening to WLS AM 890 on a Saturday night, welcome. Thanks for coming into Sports Talk Chicago. For the casual Bears fan, can you identify or maybe specify what you think is different this time? Because that pessimist would also say, well, when we hired Matt Nagy, we heard some of the same similar things of this is where the NFL is going. Offensive minded first. He's an offensive genius. This is, you know, this is what the NFL is. And, oh, yeah, we beat out the Indianapolis Colts, so Matt Nagy chose us over other places. We've heard that about Ben Johnson. And then even moving forward, with Matt Eberflus, to that extension, Luke Getsy comes in and goes, we're going to tear this playbook apart and build it down from the foundation, and we're going to make it about us. Clearly, I think there was a little bit of back and forth between him and Justin Fields. So on its face, you know, what do you think the main difference is with Ben Johnson this time around other than previous hires?
So I think that you can kind of point to a separate part in each press conference from the last really three hires. Let's look at the last three hires. John Fox and Matt Eberflus, they were both the defensive culture builders. And by the end of Eberflus's tenure, it had fallen apart. John Fox should get some credit for kind of raising the floor and putting the Bears in a better position to succeed in 2018 with a better head coach. But for both of those guys, you can see them command a room. We know that they could command a room, or somewhat. Matt Eberflus, not really, but we'll give them that for now. You can see that in the opening press conference. You can't see how they're going to handle an offense. You can't see these other things. What Ben Johnson could do yesterday was, we know what you can do with an offense, but can you command a locker room? Can you command a room? And we could see that yesterday. There is a difference there. Then between what Matt Nagy did and what Ben Johnson plans to do, I think with Nagy, one of his crutches was that he just relied on his success in Kansas City. And for Ben Johnson's success in Detroit is what got him this job. But he told reporters yesterday, and I loved this line. He said, when he was asked about, you know, the ego that it takes to become a head coach, he said, I don't consider myself an egotistical person. But then he followed it up by saying, I've also been the best at everything that I've done throughout the NFL. I've been, you know, in my time, I've been the best, or in his own eyes, he's been the best tight ends coach. He's been the best offensive line or offensive coordinator. And he's been a great quality control coach. He goes through this by attacking each job and striving to be the best. There's nothing to say that he's not going to attack being a head coach without striving to be the best. And the track record of rising to the top of each job that he's had kind of gives us a little bit of hope that that's going to happen again here as head coach.
Yeah, and when you talk about ego versus confidence, I think sometimes we get it a little confused, where I think there's a gradient level on the color palette of ego, right? Where sometimes ego is, this is what I deserve, And sometimes confidence is, this is what I believe that I am, right? And I think we conflate those two all the time. So I think it's fair to say that Ben Johnson's very confident. Well, also, he can also say that I'm not the biggest ego guy in the world, because maybe he realizes that sacrifice and selflessness leads towards success, and that's what makes me great. We're talking to Patrick Norton here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. It's time, man. I want to start diving into some stuff. We want to play a little game of winners and losers of the Chicago Bears week. I'll let you go first. If this is a draft, you can go winners or losers, but who do you think is the big winner right now for the Chicago Bears with this week, with the new news that Ben Johnson is the new head coach?
I think the clear and obvious number one winner is Caleb Williams, because he's going to really have a chance to thrive in an offense that we hope is tailored around him. But we saw all of last year that an offensive line was not really the priority. And we saw wide receivers bunched up in the same area on the field. We saw an offense that lacked innovation and lacked creativity, that was underneath Shane Waldron. And then Thomas Brown was put into an impossible situation where he could kind of implement things of his own offense, but really kind of had to run Shane Waldron's offense because it was already week 11 when he was taking over as offensive coordinator. Caleb Williams is the big winner because he's going to have a chance. It just felt like he really didn't have a chance to do what A, he set out to do this year, and B, the expectations that Bears fans put on him when he was drafted. Expectations that were earned. Don't get me wrong. And there were plenty of times where he was at fault with why this offense was not working this past season. But he's going to have a chance, kind of hit the reset button, have a year under his belt too, and really kind of get moving in the right direction.
I want to tread lightly on this follow-up with you, Patrick, but there have been some sports media outlets and some people talking a little bit about Caleb Williams' rookie season and his work ethic. Ryan Poles yesterday in an interview talked about Caleb Williams needing more maturation and learning about what it means to be a pro. Ben Johnson in his press conference did not mince words when he said that he had an up and down rookie season. And Ryan Poles also said that they had skipped steps in training camp and skipped steps during the week that led up towards game day. I have a particular perspective on this, but something or nothing right now with some of those rumors about, is Caleb working hard enough?
Personally, I think that's going to come with time. He's the number one overall pick from last year's draft for a reason. And a lot of that is because of his God-given talent. The work ethic was never an issue for him at USC, or at least reportedly, it was never an issue. I think that saying that he needs to mature and all of these things that are being said about him right now are the easiest things to say when an offense fails and you really don't know what else to say. That's just kind of where I'm at with Caleb Williams right now. We're 17 games in. He got sacked how many times? And 68 times, I think. And I have a hard time saying, well, it's his fault for not getting back up off the mat more often and going right back to work every single day as a 22-year-old.
Thank you. Because this is what I was going to say to that, is that I don't think we humanize athletes enough. And I think it is also very fair to say that maybe Caleb Williams, you can't know what you don't know. And as a rookie in the NFL, and if we're going to go and look at all the man hours that we spent railing on this coaching staff, and then we're going to say, well, Caleb Williams wasn't working hard enough, were people actually giving him the tools to actually show him what NFL level work ethic was like? And can we maybe give the 22-year-old a little bit of a break? That I'm sure he worked really hard in college, but I think we would both agree that in the NFL, it's a different level of work. It's a different level of detail. It's a different level of time spent. So I want to kind of push back on it, that it's kind of out there a little bit. You see the Bears not really refuting it. They're kind of breadcrumbing it a little bit, which is fine. They got to put the carrot on the stick for the young player. But I want to kind of get it out there, because I know a lot of people are really ready to pounce on Caleb, that I also want to remind people that he is kind of a young kid, and you know, maybe he needs the coaching staff to show him the way a little bit, show him what it means to work at NFL level.
This isn't Jamarcus Russell lying about watching tape. This is a rookie who's gotten beaten up pretty good this past year, needed a surgery after the end of the year to have his cyst removed, reportedly. Give him time. If this is a problem after year three, sure. Maybe even after year two. But right now, rookie year, new coach in the building, give it time.
Bo Callahan didn't even know there was a $100 bill in the back of the playbook, Patrick. So I'm going to throw another one out there for you. I want to get your take on this. I'm going to go with a loser here. Loser of the week. And you just said Caleb Williams is the big winner of the week. I think one of the losers of this week, for Bears fans, from the Bears fan perspective of how thirsty and starving we are, one of the losers of this week, I think, is Caleb Williams' patience window with Chicago Bears fans next year. Where I've been a big believer that you don't know what you know about an NFL quarterback until at least 30 starts. And I'm going to go as far as to say that I think when we move forward, we always look for scapegoats in this town. Whether it's the offensive coordinator, the head coach, or the quarterback, it seems to be kind of a revolving door of who's it going to be on any given year. If we're buying into this head coach right now, I'm wondering if the patience window with Caleb Williams and some fans is a little bit shorter than maybe we were thinking of in the past because Ben Johnson is now there.
Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable because I can't imagine getting to week 14 after a bye and thinking, well, you just got to give Caleb Williams more time to prove what he has next year. And the reality of it is you do, but that's not how people in this town operate. That's not how they've been trained through their childhood and now adulthood to operate and respect their sports teams. You look at guys like look across sports, like look at Jason Hayward when he came to Chicago. Obviously it didn't work out the way that everyone intended it to hope or to work.
How about Connor Bedard right now?
Connor Bedard's a great example of it too, where, you know, everyone's down on him and you really kind of dive into it. And what does he have around him? And what's the expectation for him right now? That's a whole nother story, but no, you're exactly right about Caleb where, yeah, that patience might be starting or might wear thin earlier than we expect next year, whether that's warranted or not.
Yeah, I'm not advocating that it should be shorter. What I'm saying is I'm reading the tea leaves and I'm projecting out of – I love projecting out what we're going to complain about in October, September – September, October, November. Let's get the months right while we're here. Let's be a factual show. But moving forward, you know, I always think about, you know, what are we going to be complaining about at X point in the season next year? And I do think – I think it is imperative that Caleb has a good training camp next year, and I think he has to have a pretty solid start to his season. I'm not saying he needs to be Joe Burrow, but at the same time, he also can't be the type of Caleb Williams that we saw at times during his rookie season. We need to see a maturation. We need to see a bit of an evolution, or I think Bears fans are going to want to have that conversation. Patrick Norton, throw me out another winner or loser for the Chicago Bears this week now that Ben Johnson is the head coach.
All right, I got a loser for
Give
you.
It to me.
And it's the Detroit Lions.
Big time.
While Ben Johnson is speaking and while the city of Chicago is falling in love with their new head coach, for the most part, maybe not everyone, but for the most part, Aaron Glenn then goes and signs with the New York Jets. They lose both coordinators. That's a big deal. I know that it's been said that Dan Campbell has had a role in play calling in the past, but probably not in the complete construction of the playbook itself. So it's going to be a different look for that team next year. Whoever they are able to retain and promote to their offensive coordinator, maybe they go out and bring someone from the outside in. But really, this is going to be a big step back for them. They're still a tremendous team with a lot of talent on that roster. But Ben Johnson made Jared Goff into a much better quarterback than I think we saw Jared Goff being when he was traded from Los Angeles to Detroit. Ben Johnson deserves a lot of credit for that. He's earned a lot of credit for that. Losing Ben Johnson now, I don't know what to expect from Detroit, but I know that they're not going to win more than 15 games next year.
Yeah.
You know, they will take a step back, and that was going to happen regardless of whether Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn were there next year. But without them, I can't imagine that being a significant step at this point, too.
Yeah, look, I got Jared Goff in my big losers, too, as well, because this guy got named one of the finalists for MVP this year. And yeah. I've been a Jared Goff
detractor. I've sarcastically said many things about him over the years. He's never really scared me as a quarterback. Him coming into the NFC North, I've always applauded. And with Detroit Lions fans, I always would tell them that, like, you know, even if you get Jared Goff right, I never think he's going to lead you to the top of the mountain. I think my side of the argument gets a little bit stronger on that side, where I'm with you that I think he's recovered in his career enough where I do think that he's a solid quarterback, and I think he's going to have numbers that are a facsimile to the type of production that he's put out the last couple of years. But I think the days of him throwing 35 touchdowns a year, those might be over for him. And then that just kind of accelerates now, like, well, is he the guy in Detroit? And what do? We just gave him all this money. And it's a big, giant wait and see. But obviously that relationship with Ben Johnson and Jared Goff was a huge one, Patrick. I mean, it resuscitated his career. I mean, he was a throw-in, right? He was in that Matthew Stafford trade. He was a guy of like, well, we'll just take him back because we need somebody. He was a warm body right at the time. And so I'm really curious to see what that's going to look like. I'm going to throw a loser at you too as well. And I want to get your take on what this is a little bit of a something or a nothing right now. I think a big loser of the week for the Chicago Bears with Ben Johnson now being the head coach is DeAndre Swift. Obviously coming in. And here's what's funny too with Ben Johnson. You know, I've been kind of going around saying a lot of people want to throw out there that, you know, his offensive line is so good, his weapons are so good. You know, to be very fair, that first year he was in Detroit with Jared Goff, they had a top 10 offense with guys like Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds and Craig Reynolds and all this, and DeAndre Swift.
Craig Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah. And after the end of that year, they got rid of DeAndre Swift. How do you see that playing out? Is that something or nothing that the Detroit Lions discarded DeAndre Swift 1 year after Ben Johnson came in there? Or do you think they'll be able to find a role for him in this new offense?
It's definitely something. I mean, Bears fans should hope that Ben Johnson is capable of finding a role for anyone in this offense. You and me, you know, I can block from time to time, but the reality of it is it definitely is something, because now that he's been a part of a staff that has traded DeAndre Swift, and DeAndre Swift isn't exactly coming off of a great year with the Bears either. A bit of a letdown, especially for the money that he's getting that the Bears had paid him. And last year was a big year for running backs in free agency, but it's something to monitor. How will they attack the running back position this year or this offseason? Because it does need a revamp. Roshon Johnson's still under contract for another year. DeAndre Swift is what he is, a shifty guy who struggles to run north and south too much. That it's a bit different than David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So we're going to probably see, and I know we're not taking the Detroit playbook and plopping it down on the desk and saying, hey, we're running the Lions offense. No, but Ben Johnson has grown accustomed to a certain thing with running backs. And that is not, there's no one in the Bears running back room that can kind of replicate that productivity. Arguably, if you wanted to throw one gadget name back in that room and say, hey, he'd probably do well under Ben Johnson, that's Velus Jones Jr., and he's not here anymore.
Oh, how dare you.
yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing too. And here's, I think the big question with DeAndre Swift is that I'm with you. I he's a home run hitter. But and you kind of watch, when you watch him on a week in and week out basis, you're not really exactly sure what you're getting from him. What he brings to the team is the thing with the Chicago Bears right now. And I think a lot of people, when they talk about Ben Johnson, he does prioritize protection and run game. Who on the Chicago Bears on a 3rd and 4 are they handing the ball off to and getting a first down? And who on the Chicago Bears right now on 3rd and 4 is the opposition saying, man, if they give the ball to this guy, we're going to have a hard time stopping him? I don't think that guy exists on that Chicago Bears roster right now. And that's the problem with DeAndre Swift.
That is the problem with DeAndre Swift. The answer to your question, and this is not a good thing, is probably someone in your receiving room. Probably DJ Moore, who you would probably be most comfortable handing the ball off to. And that's not a good thing. DJ Moore is a great wide receiver. You're not turning him into a running back. You need a running back. That's the point.
Yeah, no, look, I'm... I'm 100% with you, and it'll be interesting to see where I don't think I'm saying that DeAndre Swift is not going to be on the Chicago Bears next year, but I am curious to see. I think they're going to have to attack running back in the draft, and I am curious with that 50th pick in the second round. I'm wondering if that's a possible target, because am I wrong, Patrick? Do they have a third-round pick right now? They do not, right?
They do not,
yeah,
no.
Unless Ian Cunningham gets hired or something and they get a compensatory back. So I'm curious right there if they attack that particular part of the field in that second round. And again, we need to beef up on both of those lines. So again, more holes that you have to plug in on the Chicago Bears roster coming on. Hey, Patrick, man, we're almost done with winners and losers. You cool coming back on the other side of the break for a couple more minutes?
I'd love to.
Cool. We're going to take a break here in Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. You are listening to WLS AM 890. We will be right back.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago, Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. Happy Saturday, Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking to CHGO Sports, Patrick Norton. He is the beat writer for CHGO Sports. You can follow him at CHGO.com. Become a diehard today to check out his newsletter among all the amazing content heading into the draft, into the offseason. We're talking winners and losers here after Ben Johnson has now been named the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Patrick Norton, you're next up at bat, my friend. You want to take a winner or loser from this week?
I'm going to take a winner, and this is I don't know if you're going to agree with this one, but Green Bay Packers fans kind of are the winner after this one, because they have all of the bulletin board material that they need going into next year. and I don't dislike at all what Ben Johnson said. I love it. This rivalry needs a little fire for, you know, two teams that it's been a lopsided last few decades. But the Bears are 1-0 against the Packers this year in 2025. When Ben Johnson said yesterday, and he had just finished complimenting Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell, and then he said, you know, I also, you know, to be frank with you, I kind of liked beating Matt LaFleur twice a season. What's so great about that is these guys might know each other. Who knows?
I guess they don't.
They've never coached
together.
Word
on the street is they're not buddies. They don't run in the same circles.
Yeah. That's a wild thing to say in your introductory presser. And I know that it's always said in these intro pressers, that especially with the Bears, that, oh, our priority, we got to beat the Packers. Or it's said at some point in every head coaching tenure here. But what's different this time around is that Ben Johnson has a history beating the Packers. He's 5-1 as an offensive coordinator against Green Bay, against a Green Bay team that went to the playoffs this year. Detroit was 2-0, and they looked darn good against him, especially offensively. It is crucial that Ben Johnson backs up his words, and that is why right now Packers fans can kind of consider this a win for them, that, all right, write it on the chalkboard, write it on whatever. Ben Johnson says that he likes beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Boom. Post it, clip it, whatever. That's what you're running with for the rest of the offseason.
Oh, BJ, you sweet summer child. How little do you know about the Chicago Bears and our history with the Green Bay Packers? Oh, my goodness. Let's play a quick game of pander off. What is more pandering? What is more pandering to you, Patrick, when someone from the Chicago Bears tells you that we have the greatest fans in all the world, or someone tries to even turn the engine on the Chicago Bears-Packers rivalry? Because let's be honest, it hasn't been a rivalry for quite some time. I know everyone wants to push that narrative. I hate the Packers. It is my biggest sports hate in my entire life. But man, at some point, it's been pretty one-sided for a while. What's a bigger pandering comment? The Packers thing, or the we have the greatest fans in the world?
I'd argue there's a third that we're not thinking of, and it's only a select few that can use this. It's only the people who have been hired and were a part of the process. It's the people who spoke yesterday. Everyone thanked the search committee. They were the search committee. What are you talking about? Ryan Poles had a one-on-one with Ben Johnson before Johnson met with the entire group. And what did Ryan Poles do? Thanks the search committee. What does Kevin Warren and George McCaskey do? They thanked the search committee. Sure, there were like four or five other names on there, and other senior vice presidents in that building were on that committee. They're thanking themselves. They're pandering to themselves. That is crazy.
I also want to thank George for just letting us do our job. I get it. You got to kiss the ring a little bit, but that is really funny that it is a very subtle pat on the own back. To thank the search committee that you yourself were a part of and may have also put together too as well. We're doing winners and losers here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. I got two for you. I'm going to throw a quick one out there. Biggest loser of the week, Patrick, was Comfort. Comfort, big loser this week. I don't know if I have to get rid of my sweatpants. I don't know if that means I have to start wearing, you know, what are those Brillo sweatshirts or whatever. But it sounds like Ben Johnson is outlawing Comfort in Hallis Hall. That's going to be really tough for you going there on a daily basis. Are you worried a little bit?
I am a little worried. Although I will say the only comfort is in being uncomfortable. And I'm uncomfortable all of the time. Yeah, I'm uncomfortable now. No, of course. I'm the most comfortable that I could be. But, it is an odd one. I will say it's the right message to send, and I know that all these coaches have cliches, but it was nice to hear that, which is something that we had hoped to hear at some point in the last 3 years, and instead all we heard was get your track shoes on and the HITS principle, which was hustle, intensity, the ball – and smart. You can rearrange the HITS principle too any way that you want, but I prefer getting comfortable being uncomfortable. That's real coach speak to me, and not, you know, here's the rules that I would like all of my players to abide by.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then I'm not going to hold them to a standard going forward either.
No, and when you – and the acronyms and all that coach speak stuff, like I will say that – I'm trying to – I have some fun with it. But when he says that, like that isn't just a coach saying. That's a threat. It's a threat. You know what I mean? He's literally – he's warning. He's warning those guys. And it is funny that, you know, when we're not into it too deep yet, but when you get a new head coach – and some of these guys start putting the pads on and start playing, eventually we are going to have some conversation. There's going to be a surprise player or two along the way that we're going to have a conversation with. And eventually we're going to come along to the phrase of, well, he's not Ben's guy. I don't know how he fits in here because he's not Ben's guy. Get ready to be comfortable with uncomfortable, I think is definitely a shot across the bow, hopefully, to everybody. That this is going to start in the spring, hopefully extend through training camp. Maybe for the first time in my entire life, we get glowing reports from training camp instead of like, oh, well, you know, Patrick, how was training camp today? And you'll be like, oh, a little up and down. I can't remember in my lifetime anyone ever being like, man, there is a steady increase here of efficiency. Or we're starting, man, Caleb balled out today. Man, does he look good. This throw, that throw, everything else. So hopefully it starts now and can kind of build itself up towards that a little bit. I'm going to go with a winner really quick. I don't want to get your take on this. I think a big winner of the week. Actually, I believe it's Cole Kmet. I'm ready for a Cole Kmet revival. As we've seen with Ben Johnson's offenses, with Sam LaPorta, Hockenson in previous, they do like to feature and find the tight end, especially in the red zone, down the sideline, through the seam a little bit. I think Cole Kmet's a big winner on this team. And when we're trying to find like leaders on this team, naturally, I kind of gravitate towards Cole Kmet because he's been there. He's a veteran. He's been through a lot of losing, couple different coaches, and he is a guy that can still be productive on the field. I think it was a big win for Cole Kmet this week.
Absolutely. You're going to see a tight end that is heavily involved in the offense. I mean, where was Gerald Everett this year? And not that we wanted to see Gerald Everett, but he didn't even exist. Cole Kmet wasn't getting a ton of playing or wasn't getting a ton of targets, and Gerald Everett was also on this roster. getting nothing. You'd think that if Cole Kmet's numbers were low, it was because Everett's numbers were higher. No, they did not utilize a tight end at all. You're going to see a difference in that this year.
Yeah, let's get a couple more winners and losers, man. Do you have any more before we let you go here? Patrick Norton here on Sports Talk Chicago.
All right. Let me think. I think a big winner yesterday was Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. And the reason why, and this is silly, but Potsy loved bringing up the Tyreek Stevenson fail Mary. It was a constant talking point in that press room or in the PNC Center this year when Matt Eberflus would speak and then Thomas Brown would speak. He'd come back to it and keep saying, hey, would you have handled this differently if you were the head coach then? For Matt Eberflus, obviously the question or the answer every time was, I'm not going to get into that. We already addressed it. And he didn't really address it very well. Ben Johnson yesterday said something along the lines of, there will be punishment for players that are not accountable for themselves and accountable to their teammates. And there will be, you know, strict rules that we need to abide by in this building to be the best that we can possibly be. That comes with working hard. That comes with sacrifice. And if you do not do that, and if you put yourself in a position that warrants punishment, you will be punished. And it was like you could see Mark Potash smiling ear to ear at that in that moment. I couldn't even see him. He was across the room, but I could just imagine it because, and also the winner is all of us who don't have to hear that anymore about Tyreek Stevenson. But that's a big win for him and for everyone that's been worried about the accountability in that locker room. That's going to take a big step in the right direction.
It's burned in all of our minds now, man. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to do the power rankings of, you know, double doink versus Chris Conte versus Fail Mary, but man, it's in there now. I mean, it's in the lexicon. And the only reason why I think that it gets into that list is that years from now, you know, if we were out, you know, having a beer or we're talking to some friends or whatever, it's whenever you bring up that Chicago Bears moment and someone kind of looks at you and is like, ah, I don't want to talk about it. The Fail Mary is in that category, right? And it is obviously going to be that huge, not fork in the road, but I mean, it was that first nail in the coffin for Matt Eberflus. We're all going to look back at that and say, wow.
It was a massive what if, because you're 4-2 at that moment. You're a play away from going 5-2. Who knows? But they finished that year with 5 wins. And that's absurd based on the start that they had. And they had a lot of issues, and they were only 1 moment away from spiraling out of control, as we saw. But if it wasn't that moment, who knows what would have been the next moment? But it might not have been for a while, and they might have been able to run that a little bit longer.
Yeah, and if you remember correctly, we watched that game together, and you ran all the way back to the studio to get equipment and worked really hard that day, only to come back and have your precious heart ripped from your chest, like in Temple of Doom.
Just a bit.
And lit on fire.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It was great. Final one for you, Patrick Norton. If you have any more winners, I want you to throw them out there after this one. I got a winner, obviously, Ben Johnson. We haven't mentioned him yet. $13 million is what they're saying right now. We're taping this on a Thursday. This is running on a Saturday, so we'll probably get real numbers in the next couple of days. But, yeah, dude be rich. Winner for Ben Johnson also. He's a Cubs fan. That's great news. My final one is a loser, and I want to ask you, now that we have a head coach in place that I think everyone's excited about, we have a quarterback who is the number one pick in the draft, who I think a lot of people in Chicago are still very excited about. So my big thing now is the Chicago Bears, and Chicago Bears fans more specifically, we are now lacking a scapegoat. We cannot get through an entire season without a scapegoat of some kind to pin all of our angst or our frustration onto. So my biggest loser of this week is whoever the defensive coordinator is going to be. Whoever the defensive coordinator is going to be, I think, is a loser walking in the door before it even starts. Of course, he can turn it around, but in my opinion, I don't think that this defense is very elite. I think it's good. It's not great. They had a hard time stopping the run. They were a bend but don't break, but obviously they gave up some huge plays and some bad moments. And I personally think as a bit, at least at the very least, as a Chicago Bears fan, I'd like to consider myself a little bit of a connoisseur of defense. I don't think this defense is as good as other people think it is. So whoever this defensive coordinator is, I think he's the guy that we're going to be giving a hard time next year. Am I wrong?
You're exactly right. And so I'll phrase this as a winner and loser. Your winner here is Andrew Billings, because yesterday Ben Johnson said the run defense in 2023 was we couldn't solve it. And it's why those games were close and why we lost one back in 2023 and all this. And then he says 2024, completely different story with that defense, much easier to solve. What was the biggest thing missing? He said point blank, them without Billings made it much easier to run on that defense. Another part of that, then, the loser on this defense right now is the dead weight. I don't want to say that I'll name names, but Tremaine Edmonds is someone who might not be on this team next year. DJ Edwards solidified himself as the best linebacker of that core. And that's a good thing, because he is a, you know, somewhat well-paid linebacker, and he's doing his job well. Tremaine Edmonds is the highest paid linebacker in that room, and far too many times was caught no man's land. Either a defensive coordinator is going to be able to fix that, or we're going to be talking in a few months about a cut, a June 1st cut or a beginning of the season cut, whatever his contract allows for. Could be kind of a different situation. So the loser on this defense, not only Tremaine Edmonds, but just the dead weight around it.
Yeah, there's a lot to prove, man. I mean, this is simple math for people that are trying to figure this out. I was just looking at heading into the season. If I'm getting this wrong, there's five guys on the team right now that are making more than $15 million in the Chicago Bears. Three of them are defense, two of them are on offense, and one of them probably isn't coming back in Keenan Allen. So something's got to give there, right? Especially if we're going to be gearing a little bit more towards offense and Ben Johnson moving forward. Obviously, you'd like to see some of those dollars allocated on the offensive line. But I'm with you, man. Tremaine Edmonds, he's not a bad player. I just find him to be rather average, and I don't think he does anything exceptionally well. And I think you're bringing up a great point that TJ Edwards on a much cheaper deal, you see him on tape and flash way more often than Tremaine Edmonds, and I think that's something that they really need to address in the offseason.
Yep, 100% agree.
Patrick Norton, man, we're going to get you out of here, man. Thank you so much for joining Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS AM 890. I sometimes call you a teammate, and it's an honor and a pleasure, but I always call you a friend. If you can, please promote your work, how to follow you on socials, how the good people can check out CHGO, because this offseason heading forward, CHGO is not stopping. They're going full steam ahead. They are your place and destination for all things Chicago Bears and Chicago sports.
All right. So thank you very much for having me on. This was very, very fun. You can find me anywhere on social media at Pat D. Norton. And then also check out our website, allchgo.com. I write the CHGO Digest newsletter. I will also write a ton of Bears content, a ton of Cubs content coming too this summer. And then we also have some great newsletters out there and some other great written content from like Will Gottlieb, who covers the Bulls for us, and Mario Tirabassi and Jay Zawoski, who cover the Hawks. Great site. You're going to learn a lot when you're on there.
Thanks so much for coming on. Can't wait to have you back when we proudly announce the Chicago Cubs have signed Kenley Jansen and David Robertson. Wow.
Can't wait.
Back, baby.
Two splashes.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Sports Talk Chicago. Thanks for coming on, Patrick.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.